Oh, A já když to pár pana má hůzce, protože za to žádný. Tady se to šíší, tady to mám, kde jsi si pak přibíráš, pane Mohoráči, nebo vypáříky. Čáně, či by toho vyšlo, aby si pár pana hůzce, ale já řekl, čáže, tady se to slyšíme. To vám vyšší do baptisti, tam to se do svatého se nahrát Pavlo Páriky. A nám to kouče vajíšné vindiky. Dneska on founder a čáji z vám vyšší do Pavlo Páriky. Nebo čáji šlahrý dán stáv klorky. Vem se koho si kvěšné čítání probunit čananda. Sri Dvaiti Gadad Harshi Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanacham Kunradakun Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mayi Ki Yamuna Mayi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Sankirtan Yagya Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Bhakti Vindaki Gopa Imananda All glories to the Is this piece of paper where?
No,
is this in the place where the verse
is? 17.
29:17. Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 17. Turn the board. Yata yata
yata yata
vikriyate
vikriyate
guna akta
guna akta
vikaroti
vikaroti
va
va
tata tata
tata tata
upadrashta
upadrashta
atma
atma
tat
tat
vritti
vritti
anukaryate
anukaryate
Yata yata vikriyate
yata yata vikriyate
gunakto vikaroti va
gunakto vikaroti va
tata tato padrashtatma
tata tato padrashtatma
tadvitir anukaryate
tadvitir anukaryate
yata yata vikriyate
yata yata vikriyate
gunakto vikaroti va
gunakto vikaroti va
Tata tato padat, tata tato padrashtatma,
tata tato padrashtatma,
tadvittir anukaryate,
tadvittir anukaryate,
yata yata vikriyate,
yata yata vikriyate,
gunakto vikaroti va,
gunakto vikaroti va,
tata tato padrashtatma,
tata tato padrashtatma,
Tadvitir anukaryate.
Tadvitir anukaryate.
Yata yata vikriyate.
Yata yata vikriyate.
Gunaktaro vikrotiva.
Gunaktaro vikrotiva.
Tatato pradrishtatma.
Tatato pradrishtatma.
Tadvitir anukaryate.
Tadvitir anukaryate.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yata yata vikriyate.
Yata yata vikriyate.
Gunakto vikarotiva.
Gunakto vikarotiva.
Yata tada padrashtatma.
Yata tada padrashtatma.
Tadvitir anukaryate.
Tadvitir anukaryate.
Yata-yata-vikriyate
Punakto-vikaroti-va
Punakto-vikaroti-va
Tata-tato-padas-chamma
Tata-tato-padas-chamma
Tad-vritti-rupanukriyate
Tad-vritti-anukriyate
Yata-yata-vikriyate
Punakto-vikaroti-va
Yata yata,
yata yata,
just as
vikriyate,
is agitated,
guna akta,
associated with the modes of nature.
Vikaroti,
as it does.
Va, or
tata,
similarly.
Upadrashta,
observer.
Atma,
the soul.
Tat,
of the intelligence.
Vritti,
occupations.
Anukaryate,
imitates.
Formerly, it was explained that the queen is one's intelligence. While one is awake or asleep, that intelligence creates different situations. Being influenced by the contaminated intelligence, the living entity envisions something and simply imitates the actions and reactions of this intelligence. Purport. The queen of Paranjana is described herein as intelligence itself. Intelligence acts both in the dream state and in the waking state, but it is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Since the intelligence is contaminated, the living entity is also contaminated. In the conditioned state, the living entity acts according to his contaminated intelligence. Although he simply remains as an observer, he nonetheless acts, being forced by a contaminated intelligence, which in reality is a passive agent. Going to read the next verse, too. It's three verses. Deho ratastvindriyasva samvatsara rayogati dvikarma chakrasci guna dvaja pancha subhandura mano rashme buddhisuto rinido dvandva kubara panchendriyarta prakshepa saptadatu varutaka akutir vikramo bhayo Mrigachishnam Pradhavati Ekadashendriya Chamu Panchashuna Vinodakrit. Translation. Narada Muni continued, what I refer to as the chariot was in actuality the body, the senses of the horses that pulled that chariot. As time passes, year after year, these horses run without obstruction, but in fact they make no progress. Pious and impious activities are the two wheels of the chariot. The three modes of material nature are the chariot's flags. Five types of life air constitute the living entity's bondage, and the mind is considered to be the rope. Intelligence is the chariot driver. The heart is the sitting place in the chariot, and the dualities of life, such as pleasure and pain, are the knotting place. The seven elements are the coverings of the chariot, and the working senses are the five external processes. The 11 senses are the soldiers. Being engrossed in sense enjoyment, the living entity seated on the chariot hankers after fulfillment of his false desires and runs after sense enjoyment, life after life. Purport.
The entanglement of the living entity in sense enjoyment is very nicely explained in these verses. The word samvatsara, meaning the progress of time, is significant. Day after day, week after week, fortnight after fortnight, month after month, year after year, the living entity becomes entangled in the chariot's progress. The chariot rests on two wheels, which are pious and impious activities. The living entity attains a certain position in life, in a particular type of body, according to his pious and impious activities. But his transmigration into different bodies should not be taken as progress. Real progress is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Tyaktva deham puna janma naiti. One makes real progress when he does not have to take another material body, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mantra, Leela 19.138, Eta Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jivagan, Chorashi Laksha, Yonite Karaya Brahman. The living entity is wandering throughout the entire universe and taking birth in different species on different planets. Thus he moves up and down, but that is not real progress. Real progress is getting out of this material world altogether, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punavatino Arjuna, Mamupechitakantiya Purnajanmanda Vijate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Even if one is promoted to Brahmaloka, the highest planet in the universe, he has to come down again to the lower planetary systems. Thus he is wandering up and down perpetually under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Being illusioned, he thinks he is making progress. He is like an airplane encircling the earth day and night, incapable of leaving the earth's gravitational field. Factually, there is no progress because the airplane is conditioned by the earth's gravity. Just as a king is seated on a chariot, the living entity is seated in the body. The sitting place is the heart, and the living entity sits there and engages in the struggle for existence, which goes on without progress perpetually. In the words of Narottam Das Thakur, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishera Bandha, Amrita Baldiya Yebakaya, Nani Yoni Sada Pire Kadaya Bhakshana Kahari, Tara Janma Adapatiyaya. The living entity struggles very hard due to the influence of fruitive activity and mental speculation, and simply gets a different type of body life after life. He eats all kinds of nonsense, is condemned by his activities of sense enjoyment. If one really wants to progress in life, he must give up the ways of karma kanda and jnana kanda, fruitive activities and mental speculation. Being fixed in Krishna consciousness, one can become free from the entanglement of birth and death and the vain struggle for existence. In these verses, the words mriga trishnam Padhavati are very significant because the living entity is influenced by a thirst for sense enjoyment. He is like a deer that goes to the desert to search out water. In the desert, an animal simply searches in vain for water. Of course, there is no water in the desert, and the animal simply sacrifices his life in an attempt to find it. Everyone is planning for future happiness, thinking that somehow or other, if he can reach a certain point, he will be happy. In actuality, however, when he comes to that point, he sees that there's no happiness. He then plans to go further and further to another point. This is called mriga trishna, and its basis is sense enjoyment in this material world. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshura Unminitamina Tasma Shigiravi Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachrum Bangam Nangayate Gari Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundi Natalana Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Pastichade Satamane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare These are talks between Narada Muni and King Pachinabarni. And I believe Narada Muni is, yes, it's the last chapter on this topic. Narada Muni is explaining to King Pachinabarni the meaning of the allegory he had given to him about the story of Paranjana. I think King Pachinabarni, after hearing the allegory, he said, I don't understand it. I don't catch it. And because Narada Muni, he came to King Pachinabarishad because King Pachinabarishad was performing fruitive activities, killing animals. And he had been instructed that way by his teachers, and he was thinking he was following a bona fide path, fruitive activities. And of course, it was because he still had some addiction to fruitive results that he was attracted to following the karmakanda processes of the Vedas. But he didn't realize the consequences of his activities, that although one may engage in karmakanda in order to achieve some result, nonetheless, one does not become freed from the entanglement of repeated birth and death. One may achieve the fruits of his sacrifices, but because he wants to enjoy the fruits of his sacrifices, therefore, because of that enjoying spirit, Prabhupada explains here that this is what this whole, he says, and it concludes the commentary and says, everyone is planning for future happiness, thinking that somehow or other, if he can reach a certain point, he will be happy. In actuality, when he comes to that point, he sees there's no happiness. He then plans to go further and further to another point. This is called Mriga Trishna. Mriga Trishna means false aspiration. Its basis is sense enjoyment in this material world. So in other words, one's thinking, yes, I'll undergo these sacrifices, I'll accept some austerities, I'll offer the results of my sacrifices. But what is he motivated by? Motivated by the fruit. Right? Once I get the fruit, that fruit will be the essence of my enjoyment. And then I'll be happy. These are the laughs of a realized soul, Chimukha. And although we realize it, somehow we still foolishly think, oh, let me try again. And that's what Prabhupada says. Well, I get to a certain point and okay. When he comes to the point, he sees there's no happiness. He then goes further and further to another point. Let me make another plan. Okay, this one didn't work. So then he begins calculating, making another. And what is his motivation for the next plan? Well, enjoyment. Right? I didn't make it this time, so let me make another sacrifice. And then, of course, one point, the next. We were discussing this, I think, the other day, where, I can't remember. But Prabhupada was explaining that there's, without Krishna consciousness, there's no final goal for the mind. There's no final goal. Because everyone establishes a goal, and then the goal is achieved, but then... okay, now I've got the goal. And then even if he achieves the goal, and then, of course, extract some pleasure from it, then because he doesn't realize that the goal is temporary, he thinks, or maybe he realizes it, but he doesn't want to think about it. And therefore, he thinks, now that I've achieved it, I'm going to enjoy it, and he enjoys it, and then he doesn't realize that because he's enjoying it, that he's creating his consequences for future suffering. So therefore, when the temporary means that it will be some point of time, be extracted, taken away, and then the future suffering is the reactions he has to take in his next life for having enjoyed the fruit of his sacrifices without offering it to Krishna. So it's no end. There's no end. And the whole basis, of course, is sense enjoyment in the material world. And King Puchina Baharishat, he was a victim of these types of sacrifices, thinking that by performing these sacrifices, I'm willing to undergo some inconvenience and to make some offerings, but really my motivation is the fruit which I'll be able to enjoy in the future. Such an illusory way of life, illusory existence. Yet, that's what it means to be conditioned. Conditioned to think that there's always hope for a successful sacrifice that will bear some permanent, lasting result. But Prabhupada says, no, abrahma bhuvana loka punavatina mama jana. That even if you perform sacrifices to go to the highest planet, brahma loka, all the places of misery because repeated birth and death takes place. Therefore, one who attains to maya bodh, he never takes his birth again. So Prabhupada takes advantage of this allegory or explanation of the allegory, which Narada Muni is here doing to King Puchina Baharishat. Now he's cementing the allegory into King Puchina Baharishat's mind. King Puchina Baharishat said, I didn't catch the whole allegory, can you explain it to me? Now, what did it mean? Now, one by one, Narada Muni is taking all the different allegories of the queen and the city and the soldiers, and one by one he's taking them all and saying, okay, this is what it is, and this is where it all fits in, and this is how it's connected to you. And here, specifically in this verse, he's speaking about the chariot. He said, what I referred to as the chariot was in actuality the body. And the senses of the horses that pull the chariot. And as time passes, year after year, these horses run without obstruction, but in fact, they make no progress. And Prabhupada really capitalizes on this. This capitalizes for takes advantage of it to really hit home on a very important point. What is progress? What is progress? And he makes it clear that people think, you know, that, okay, I'm transmigrating, or it takes about the transmigration of the soul, goes from one body to the next, from one planet to the next, due to the passing of time. The word sambhatsara means the progress of time. So this is significant. Day after day, week after week, fortnight after fortnight, month after month, year after year, and the living entity becomes entangled in the chariot's progress. So it seems like the chariot is making some progress, but actually there's no progress at all. It's very cyclical. And this one is caught in a cycle of repeated birth and death. Where's the progress? Even if one goes to the highest planet, it may appear, oh yes, I've gone to, now here I am, Brahmaloka. The whole story of Bihat Bhagavatamrita and Gopakumar's search, going from one place to the next. Wherever he went, even when he went to Lord Brahma's planet, of course, for Gopakumar, because he had received a mantra that defined his goal in life, his final goal. And by chanting that mantra, that final goal in his mind became fixed and established, and therefore, based on his eternal relationship with the Lord, wherever he went, not only even in the material world, but even when he went into the Vaikuntha planets, still, for him, he didn't consider that to be the final destination. He was hankering for more, because he knew something was higher. And therefore, in the same way, the living entity within the material world, when he hears about the final resting place, that place whereby one goes, whereby it becomes his permanent shelter, and however that becomes awakened within his heart, at that point he realized that there's no progress to be had in the material world. And that's exactly what Narada Muni is trying to impregnate in King Prachinabharishat's heart. He says, you foolishly think that you're making progress, but actually, you're making no progress at all, because you're simply caught in this cycle again and again and again and again, and there's no escaping it. And whatever temporary happiness you may experience, either by elevation to heavenly planets, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, men of small intelligence are very much attracted to the flowery words of Vedas, which recommend various types of sacrifices, which give one elevation to the heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth. Being attached to sense gratification and opulent life, they think there's nothing more than this. That's it. But when a devotee, or when the soul, the conditioned soul, gets the opportunity to come in contact with a devotee and to learn about a greater, a higher resting place, a higher place outside the cyclical existence of the material universe, having that desire awakened within the heart, then his devotional life begins. And therefore, he understands that there's no question of making progress anymore in the material world. Progress means towards that goal. And Narada Muni makes it very clear, he concludes this chapter also. Of course, I'm jumping ahead, but nonetheless, there are many, many verses, well-known verses that I remember from this chapter, where Narada Muni tells King Prachinabharishat, in the place where pure devotees meet, following the rules and regulations, in that place, if one gets an opportunity to hear the descriptions of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which continuously flow like the waves of the river, he says, by caught in the flow of those waves, one will forget about all the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and one will become free from all kinds of illusion, lamentation, and fear. So Narada Muni is actually explaining to King Prachinabharishat, you've missed out. You've heard all of these instructions about fruitive activities from your teachers. You've committed all of these fruitive, engaged in all these fruitive activities, being driven by a desire for fruitive gain, thinking that you won't have to suffer any reactions, but you've been duped. You've been duped. You haven't caught it. You haven't been hearing from the right people. And therefore, Narada Muni, of course, he had to shake King Prachinna Bharishat out of his slumber-like existence by explaining the whole allegory and then capturing his, piquing his interest. Then now, in this chapter, Narada Muni is completely laying it on the line, okay? This is it. Now I'll explain the allegory and I'll tell you how it's connected to you and I'll tell you how we will have to go from here. That's exactly what he said. Now that I've exposed it, let you see what you've been trapped in, now this is where you have to go from here. And where you have to go, he tells me, he said, where is it? Those verses, I think they're towards the end of this chapter. Now I know there's another verse here that I oftentimes quote also. It's a very who are freed from sinful activity. O King Prachinna Bharishat. Narada Muni refers to him as, I'll find it, excuse me, I know it's in this chapter. Maybe I've gone too far, maybe it's further before this. Anyways, I can paraphrase it if I can't find it. He said that he says to King Prachinna Bharishat, he said, just as a person, one who engages in fruitive activity should not try to counteract the reactions by engaging another fruitive activity. Such a person who tries to counteract the reactions of fruitive activity by another fruitive activity is like a person who wakes from a bad dream and then becomes a victim of an hallucination. He says that, I wish I could find the verse, because it's very, very... You know the verse I'm talking about?
No, I just forgot.
You're trying to help me. It's in the chapter somewhere, and yet Krishna's not bringing me to the verse. Oh, here it is. O you who are free from all sinful activity, no one can counteract the effects of fruitive activity simply by manufacturing a different activity devoid of Krishna consciousness.
Which verse?
Huh?
Which verse?
34. All such activity is due to our ignorance. When we have a troublesome dream, we cannot relieve it with a troublesome hallucination. One can counteract a dream only by awaking. Similarly, our material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. Unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we cannot be relieved of such dreams. For the ultimate solution to all problems, we must awaken to Krishna consciousness. And then, right after that, he explains, it's not the immediate verse, but a few verses later, he says, in that place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. So, that is how Narada Muni is concluding his instructions to King Prachinna Bharishat. Okay, now I've exposed everything that you've been engaged in, all these fruitive activities. Now you have to fix your mind on a goal that's higher. Find some higher shelter for the mind, and then engage, work towards that goal. And he told them where to find it. You have to go to that place where the devotees are discussing Bhagavatam. That's where you have to go to find it. And they're discussing Bhagavatam, and actually in that place, by discussing Bhagavatam, because wherever there is discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is always concludes on what is actually the goal of Bhagavatam. Right? Just like when Devananda Pandit asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, how do I speak from Srimad Bhagavatam? You know, and Lord Chaitanya instructed Devananda Pandit, because Devananda Pandit had been accustomed to reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was presenting it in an impersonal way. He was not bringing it to the conclusion. And Lord Chaitanya instructed him that actually wherever you read from Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it's in the beginning, middle, end, or anywhere in between, the Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies only one activity, that it's pure devotional service. Therefore, you have to glorify pure devotional service. Otherwise, if you don't glorify pure devotional service, and if you don't come to the conclusion that the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant not for fruitive gain, it's not meant for discussing how to become happy in the material world, it's not meant for discussing psychology, sociology, anthropology, although all these things are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's meant to help us understand that how to break free from the cycle of birth and death, and ultimately it must conclude at the lotus feet of Krishna, or upon the smiling face of Krishna, depending upon which section of the Bhagavatam you're reading. But nonetheless, the goal is beginning, middle, and end. It's and therefore is pure devotional service. And therefore Narada Muni says, you have to go to that place and hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, you'll become free from illusion, lamentation, and fear, and you'll forget about all these worldly pleasures which transcend them. And then, after this message was given to King Puchini Parishad, then towards the end of the chapter, what happens is end of the chapter, because this is the last chapter of the conversation between Narada. King Puchini Parishad left the kingdom to his sons to protect the citizens, left home, went off to undergo austerities in a holy place known as Kapilashram. Having undergone austerities and penances at Kapilashram, King Pachinabarhi attained full liberation from all material designations. He constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and attained a spiritual position qualitatively equal to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. This narration spoken by the great sage Narada is full of the transcendental fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, this narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world, it purifies the heart of the living entity, and helps him attain his spiritual identity. One who relates this transcendental narration will be liberated from all material bondage and will no longer have to wander within this material world. The allegory of King Paranjana described herein according to authority was heard by me from my spiritual master and is full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved in the bodily conception and will clearly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. And then, a desire to maintain body, wife, and children is also observed in animal society. The animals have full intelligence to manage such affairs. If a human being is simply advanced in this respect, what is the difference between him and an animal? One should be very careful to understand that this human life is attained after many, many births in the evolutionary process. A learned man who gives up the bodily conception of life, both gross and subtle, will by the enlightenment of spiritual knowledge become a prominent individual spiritual soul, spirit soul, as the Supreme Lord is also. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature. And that's how the chapter ends. So, as we said, Prabhupada, in the verse that we read today about the body as the chariot, he took advantage on defining what is real progress. Real progress for the soul. Progress is not to achieve any destination within this material world, but real progress means to achieve devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And any method which one adopts of the nine processes of devotional service, whether it's by hearing, chanting, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, befriending, surrendering everything. These are the nine processes of devotional service. And perfection of one or any of these, any one of these or all of them, can bring one the desired goal or to the desired destination. And devotional service begins by engaging in any one of these processes of devotional service. And Prabhupada always emphasized in so many places, as far as the Shastra also emphasizes again and again, that it begins, and most important is hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. This is the method. This is the method to cleanse the heart. This is the method to awaken the desire. And then, once the desire is awakened, as Lord Chaitanya described to Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmati Kona Bhagavan Jeev, that when the living entity hears about Krishna by good fortune, and the seed of devotional service is planted within the heart, and then by the good fortune of that living entity goes on to water the seed of devotional service by hearing the transcendental narrations and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the devotees. And what happens is that seed gradually grows into a plant. The plant travels through the entire material world, breaks the coverings of the material world, enters into the spiritual world, and takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord and bears fruits of the love of Godhead. And this is all done by watering. And if one doesn't water the seed, the watering doesn't take place, and what happens? If one is not careful, then Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami. He says, just as the watering process is there, if one is not careful, then the weeds can grow faster than the devotional plant. And therefore one has to, and the weeds are compared to be like the anarthas. And the anarthas are just as the weeds which grow also, they flourish, even more so than the devotional plant. They can grow and gradually choke the plant so the plant can't derive any nourishment from the watering process, because the weeds will grow, block the sunlight, take all the nourishment from the plant, and before you know it, the plant dies and all you have is weeds. How many times have we tried to grow flowers, vegetables, a garden, and if we're not very careful to weed the garden, we may come back and find the plants have been choked. And all there is just weeds. So even though the seed is planted, if we're not careful, and therefore Lord Chaitanya, when instructions to Rupa Goswami, says, one has to very carefully distinguish between what is the weed and what is the plant. If you can't make a distinction between what is the weed and what is the plant, and if you, therefore, by not making that distinction, then what happens is that the weed will grow faster. So, by making the distinction, that means that we have to see, oh, these are the weeds. These are anartha, means unwanted. Unwanted things. But the nature of anartha is we think it's wanted things. It's the intelligence that tells us, no, remember, you're not supposed to want those things. But, and therefore it's called anartha, unnecessary, unwanted things. But under the influence of illusion, we think these are wanted because one is still victimized by the desires that are there within the heart. I want this, I want that, I want comfort, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to make this arrangement, I want wealth, I want prosperity. There are all these different types of anarthas. They simply choke. They choke the devotional plant. They choke the plant if we focus on them. So therefore Lord Chaitanya said, no, one has to distinguish between the anarthas and the devotional plant and focus on the growth of the plant. And if you focus on the growth of the plant, the result is that the weeds won't choke the plant. The plant will grow, become very strong, because the plant will be healthy enough to be able to counteract the influence of the weeds. But if you don't, and you simply think, oh yes, I'm watering. I'm watering. But not careful to distinguish between what's the weed and what's the plant. I'm watering. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm chanting some rounds. But I'm chanting rounds, and what am I thinking about? Boy, I'd really like to have this. I'd really like to have this. Or even one is chanting Gayatri Mantras. Gayatri Mantras, if one's not careful and one is meditating on something else besides the actual goal, the Gayatri Mantras they can deliver, they can give the fulfillment of one's desires. One has to be very careful. He's not careful to distinguish. What is he meditating on? I'm chanting my Gayatri Mantras too. But one has to keep the consciousness fixed. What is the plant and what are the weeds? And if one doesn't know the weeds, that's also an anartha. To not know what the weeds are is another type of anartha. Therefore, one should very carefully understand what are the different types of anarthas. With the desire for fruit of gain, the desire for worship, desire for respect, envy of other living entities, jiva hingsa, what is the other one? Another one I'm thinking, duplicity, being duplicitous, fault finding, right? Duplicitous, fault finding. This is another anartha. To look for the faults in others, thinking that if I look with the faults of others, then I can feel good about myself. Therefore, this is a good way to not have to worry about my own anarthas. Spend all my time speaking about them and pointing them out to everybody else. And then I can think, well, you see, everybody else has these anarthas, but that's an anartha. It's duplicity. It's duplicity of fault finding. So, these are the weeds. And if we don't pay any attention to them, and we think, just keep on going, thinking, yeah, I'll float along in devotional service, I'll just float. It's like that old childhood song, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Right? I'll just float along merrily, 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 and I'll go back to Godhead. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You know? It doesn't work that way. One actually has to cultivate the desire. Otherwise, one has to... He'll take birth again. Or someone will say, okay, I'm ready, I'll take birth again. One actually really realize what that means? If we just want to settle, okay, I'll take birth. So, I mean, if one is actually thinking, I want to be engaged in devotional service and to serve Srila Prabhupada and to serve his mission, so I'm willing to have to take birth again because it's the service that's... Then, well, if he's thinking in that way, then okay, then Krishna may have him take his birth again, but he has service, and wherever there's service, then Narayanat Parakshave Nakuchashina Bhivati Svaga Pavagra Narakish Tulyaki Darshana. Lord Shiva who said that the devotees need not fear any condition of life, whether in heaven or whether in hell, whether they're liberated. For them it's all the same, because for them devotional service, that's devotional service is how they find their shelter. So whether they're liberated, whether in heaven, hell, it's all the same, because they already know the goal is devotional service. Therefore they do not fear any condition of life, even having to take birth again. Lord Brahma even prays to the Lord, let me take birth again wherever I am, even if they take birth again, just simply someday please recognize me as your devotee. He prays like this to Krishna, let me serve you, that is all, even if I have to take birth again on some other planet. That's devotional service. So under those circumstances, then if Krishna so desires, we'll take birth. But if we're not conscious about the goal is devotional service, and understand that the Bhagavatam is meant to glorify devotional service and to establish our relationship with the Supreme Lord, then if we're not careful, we'll have to come back again. And if we actually make such a statement, without such a mindless, thoughtless statement, like, all right, it means we really didn't catch it. We missed something. We really missed something. It means we're just like King Puchinha Parsha, who says, I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it. Can you please clarify it? Can you please make it clear now? Is there, what is it? What does all this mean, you know, this allegory about Paranjana? And then... therefore, Narada Muni focuses and said, okay, this is it. Catch it. And he caught it. So, we should try to catch the flow. That's all. If we catch the flow and we go on hearing and hearing and hearing and continue the watering, we won't forget what the actual goal is, and then... Krishna, who's very kind upon such persons who develop the urge to hear such messages, he'll act from within to remove all the obstacles on the path of devotional service, and will give them the opportunity to attain his shelter of his lotus feet and pure devotional service in his next life. Simply go on hearing. That's it. What fool. Will not take the time to hear these transcendental messages. Fool. Hare Krishna.
One quick question. I noticed in the verse it spoke almost directly that you can become relieved by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class, but with the devotees.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
The importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of
in association devotees. Of devotees.
It's mentioned in the verse, in the purport.
Right? In today's purport.
Yeah. Well, it's mentioned directly there that King Chidabhaisa said that hearing in the association of devotees.
Oh, yes. Well, that was the later verse.
We can read the Bhagavatam at home, but specifically in the association of devotees have some element.
It's when you think about it, and you read about, there are so many examples in Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotees who have gotten direct darshan of the Lord, and when asked for a benediction, these devotees ask, please give me the benediction that I take birth in the association of devotees. Imagine being in the association of the Lord and asking for a benediction to take birth. Now, why did they... why did they ask for such benedictions? Because that's how valuable it is to hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, that they don't want to take birth again, simply to be in the association of devotees, to associate with the Lord through hearing the messages of the Bhagavatam through the association of devotees. Let me always be with your devotees. So, of course, there are those devotees here in this world, but then also because Krishna is always surrounded by his devotees in the spiritual world too, there's no question of having a direct relation of Krishna without also being with Krishna's devotees in the spiritual world too, wherever it may be. But there's no getting around it. If you want to be with Krishna, you have to be with his devotees. This is no getting around it.
And there's no devotee off by himself on his own trip. No. Not allowed.
No. And Prabhupada says, right, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, one who thinks he can make advancement with outside the association of devotees, he says, is living in hallucination. Right, Chaitanya Charitamrita? He says, one who thinks he can advance outside the association of devotees is living in a hallucination.
Everybody should be breaking their necks to come to the Bhagavatam. And really, as you're hearing the Bhagavatam class, you can perceive that.
Hare Krishna, Chivakam. Thank you for coming to Bhagavatam class this morning. I told you I was going to. Last night, didn't I? What did I say? I can't remember. I said something. I think I said I'll work on you. But it wasn't just for you, it was for me too. That's the nature of Bhagavatam. Everyone benefits. The speaker and the audience, everyone benefits. As long as it's the Bhagavatam.
So where did the sages of Namasharanya, that was Bhagavatam class also?
Yeah? That's it. Okay, I'm going to end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.